church. Amen. Because without you all, it could not go forward. Amen. God is a good God.
Yes, he is.
And we need to always remember who he is. Yes. I'm going to ask you to be seated for a minute before we go into our scripture.
Amen.
My Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before your throne of grace with thanksgiving in my heart. Lord, I come before you, Lord, with a renewed attitude and a renewed mindset. I come before you, Lord, just thanking you, Lord. Father, although we sometimes may be few in numbers, Lord, you can do much with few. So I just ask you, Lord, that you'll allow your Holy Spirit to come in here this morning and allow us to have a hallelujah good time in you. Oh, Father, you said your word would not go out void. So, Father, I ask that you reduce me, Lord, and allow your Holy Spirit to increase. That your people may receive what thus says the Lord. But, Father, you're always speaking and you're always talking. So, Lord, I ask you, Father, to allow us to put on our spiritual ears. To allow us to hear what thus says the Lord. But, Lord, we love you and we need you every step of the way. So, Father, anoint my hands. Anoint my feet, anoint my head to do what it is that you have for me to do. In your son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen and hallelujah. Amen. This morning, my topic that we're going to come from is Jesus, our great high priest.
Amen.
Jesus, our great high priest. And Reverend Price is going to read this passage. We're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to start with 9 through 10, and then we're going to pick up Hebrews 2, 17 and 18. Hebrews 2, 9 through 10, and Hebrews 2, 17 through 18.
Hebrews 2, verses 9 and 10. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. And the scripture reads, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom all things and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." Let me go ahead and read Hebrews 2, 17 and 18.
Yes, sir, please.
So Hebrews 2, 17 and 18. "Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. He was baptized to fulfill that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people.
Amen.
For in that he was suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who also are tempted."
Thank you. You may be seated. As I said, my topic today is Jesus, our great high priest. We have 3 points we're going to be looking at: the cross, the suffering, the spiritual kingdom established.
Amen.
The cross, the suffering, the spiritual kingdom established.
Amen.
Now, you see this paper here. When you get older, you can't see. So I started printing my scriptures large so I can see what they are.
Amen.
And I can read them as I go along.
Amen.
But I want the Holy Spirit to teach this word, or preach this word, because there is something here that we need to hear and we need to know.
Amen.
Let's look at this first. Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is this great high priest? It tells me that Jesus is first the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Jesus in Greek means Savior, and Christ means the Anointed One. You know, and when I begin to study and look at this information, I begin to think on the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish people as a whole. All their lives, they were taught about the Messiah, the coming Messiah. They were even given signs and visions through prophets and understanding of what to look for as he came. And I sometimes sit back and wonder how they missed the mark. Mm-hmm. But as I look at us today, I don't have to wonder anymore. Mm-hmm. Because we are a people who are disobedient. Yes. We are a people who will do what it is we want to do. We have learned how to be led by the flesh and not by the spirit. Yes. And see, once we have learned to be led by the flesh, then spiritual things mean nothing to us. And we can't see and we can't understand. But as you begin to study the Word of God, we find that there's some hope for us. Right. That hope is in Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest. And as I begin to look at this passage and the Holy Spirit to begin to break it down, this is what it says. He said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, may taste death for everyone. Mm-hmm. Now let's look at this part. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Mm-hmm. Now God did this, and he did it for a purpose. He was made a little lower than the angels because why? Angels can't taste death. Uh-huh. Angels live forever. Uh-huh. But Jesus was set aside for a plan. And that plan was for him to redeem us back to the Father. Amen. So God had to put this plan in action and prepare this body to come down where it would fit in. And let's look at verse 10. The other part of that verse 10 that says, for the suffering of death. So we know that the angels could not die. But Jesus had to do what? He had to die. Then it says, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, may taste death for everyone. So he was designed to do what? To die. He was designed to die. But look at this, though. It said, although he was made a little lower than the angels, he was crowned with glory and honor. That meant he still had that God attribute about himself. See, that's why we come to the point that we understand that God was 100% man and 100% God. At no time did he lose his Godship. At no time was he put out of heaven and put here and forgotten about. God kept him in his rightful place. And see, that's our problem. We don't know how to keep Jesus in his rightful place. We take him for granted. We use it for what it is. We don't even understand what the process was about the cross. What was necessary about the cross? It was necessary about the cross because Jesus had to suffer on that cross. He had to die on that cross. Why? We're going to see. And then it says in verse 10, it says, for it was fitting for him, oh Lord, that meant it was made just for him. Could nobody else do this? See, that's what we need to understand. Could nobody else do what Jesus was sent to do? Jesus had to do this. He said, for whom all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus was set aside to save us. That's why he tells us that he is the Savior of the world. That meant he's going to save all of us. But guess what? That's a but to that. It's a but. See, just like the Jewish people, Sadducees, Pharisees, had an opportunity to accept him or to reject him. When you reject Jesus, you rejecting life. When you reject Jesus, you rejecting salvation. When you reject Jesus, you rejecting hope. They rejected him. But we need to accept him. It said because he is doing something here. And it says by his suffering, he's establishing his kingdom. See, Jesus didn't come here telling these people or telling us that he was establishing an earthly kingdom. See, that was the problem. Everybody was looking for him to come to establish this earthly kingdom, to be in his royal apparel and all of this. This is what they were looking for. See, when we have our eyes on the wrong thing, we miss the mark. And I think about us in this time. See, this time it tells us that Jesus is coming back. It tells us he's coming back one day. But we're busy doing everything except watching. We're busy working. We're busy partying. We're busy traveling. We're busy doing everything. But we're not watching. We're not looking around. We're not seeing the time. We're not watching. And it tells us that Jesus is going to come back. And it says he's going to come back like a thief in the night. That means I don't know when he's coming, but I know I need to be ready. We need to be ready when Jesus comes back, because he's coming. Just like God told the Israelites that a Messiah was coming, and they call themselves looking, and they still miss the mark. So we got to be ready, because Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. And I'm not going to be left behind. And then it tells us here in Hebrews 2, 17 and 18. It says, therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he may be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make perpetuation for the sins of the people. Now, I thought about that. It says, therefore, in all things, he had to be made like the brothers. See, that's why it was necessary for God to put on that fleshly body. Because without doing that, we could not identify. We could not identify with a God in his natural state. We couldn't even get close enough to him in his natural state. If you don't believe me, let's call Moses. What did God tell him? So you can only look at a glimpse of my glory. And he can only see God's backside. It was too much. And after he looked at that glimpse of God, he came off that mountain shining and his hair was white as snow. So what does that tell you? We cannot stand in the presence of all God's glory. It's no way we can do it and survive. That's why he told him, don't touch the mountain. The mountain is full of my grace and my mercy. And if you touch the mountain, you will surely die. See, we didn't understand that. But I understand that. And then it tells us, you wonder sometimes, why did Jesus have to be baptized? It tells us that he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness and to identify with us. See, once we go through the process of being baptized, we're doing what Jesus did. Jesus was baptized so that we could be baptized to identify ourselves as his. That's what it's all about. Baptism don't save us. Saving us is believing in Jesus Christ. When we believe in him, it said we shall be saved. It didn't say might. It said we shall be saved. And then it says that for the forgiveness of our sins. Could nobody else do that for us? Imagine this, that you had to go to the priest. People are still doing that in the Catholic religion. But you're going before the priest and asking the priest to atone for your sins. That's the way they did it back then. To forgive me for whatever it is that I have done. I want you to go before God and ask him. But let me give you a story I was reading. In 2 Samuel, it talks about Saul. And Saul was one that the people wanted a king. So God heard them crying out for a king, although he was king of kings and lord of lords. But we still want something else that we think we can touch or feel. So God granted that. He gave him a king. Saul went and did everything that God asked him to do. But one day, Saul decided that he was going to do things his way. See, that's where we make our mistake. We stop listening to God, and then we begin to do it the way we want to do it. So what happened was when Saul began to follow after his own mindset and went against what God said, God got angry. And so when God got angry, God was through with him. Now, isn't that something? He made a mistake, and this was the mistake. See, we think we're doing some good things, but when we don't listen to God, that's where we make our mistake. Now, what Saul did, God told him, he said, go and subdue the land. I want you to kill everything. Don't bring nothing out. But Saul decided, well, I'm going to keep these good sheep. I'm going to keep these good goats. I'm going to keep it to make a sacrifice unto God. Now, we were thinking, oh, that's a good thing. But see, the thing was that God said, destroy everything. See, that's where he made his mistake. He didn't listen. So he comes out of there, and he brings that back with him. And so he talks to Samuel. Samuel told him that God was upset because of what he had done. And God was through with him from that moment on. God moved on and found him another king who was David. But Samuel is still here crying over Saul. God told him, he said, you need to let that go. He said, because I've moved on. See, that's when I got a real understanding for who Jesus is. See, when I stand before God and I say, God, please forgive me for what I did, he going to tell me to get out of his face. But see, Jesus going to stand there and plead my case. I have a good understanding for who Jesus is and why he had to down that cross. Because see, with Jesus it came some grace and some mercy. But when God spoke, that was it. That was it. And we need to understand, if it was not for Jesus, we would all be wiped out right now. I can just see God saying, I'm tired of these people. I'm tired of them being disobedient. I'm going to take them out. And I just see Jesus said, no, send me, make me a body. I'll go down. I'll save them. I'll bring them back to you. I have a new understanding, a new revelation for who Jesus was.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus made a way for you. He made a way for me. He died. He died on that cross. He suffered on that cross.
Hallelujah.
Why?
Hallelujah.
So I can be redeemed.
Yeah, Lord.
So I can be reconciled back to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And see, as Jesus was coming, he began to preach his ministry.
Yeah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Here again, I have a new revelation for Jesus.
Yeah.
See, what Jesus did, he went to the Jewish people first. And he presented himself. But they rejected him. So what he did was, he crossed on over to the other side of the Jordan. Where you and me were. We didn't know God. We had no relationship with him. But he crossed over to the other side. And he began to look for us. And as we began to receive him, we began to accept him. We became sons and daughters of the crown. I'm so thankful.
Yeah, Lord. Hallelujah.
And he began to teach us.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
He began to teach us these things.
Yeah.
He said, I came to establish. I came to establish the spiritual kingdom that requires repentance and faith. He said, not blind and ritual obedience to the law.
Hallelujah.
But repentance and faith.
Yeah, Lord.
Jesus brought a new revelation that we would be able to walk into this new kingdom, this spiritual kingdom. This spiritual kingdom is not made by hands. This spiritual kingdom is not something that I can see or feel or touch. This spiritual kingdom is something that I just believe and I know in my heart that it exists. This spiritual kingdom is this kingdom that he said he's coming back. He's coming back to get me for. I'm going to be ready for this spiritual kingdom. What about you? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Have you received him in your life?
Have you told him to come in? Yeah. Have you presented yourself faultless before him?
Yeah.
Jesus wants to save us all. But the only way he can do that is that we must be willing. We must open up our hearts. We must open up our eyes. We must open up our minds. And we need to walk. We need to walk as Jesus has taught us to walk. We have to teach. We have to preach. We have to do all the things that Jesus showed us to do. And for whatever reason this world believes today that there's no more healing. There's no more gifts. Jesus didn't tell us that.
Yeah.
He said, greater things you will do than I did.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? That means that we are people with no faith.
Yeah.
We're people with no belief.
Yeah.
We're people with no power. Yeah. Why? Because if you don't believe something, it is not going to happen.
Yeah,
you see me? I believe in healing.
All right.
I believe that Jesus can do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why I believe it? Because these feet I couldn't even walk on yesterday. But look at me today. I know what God can do when we bring it to him. See, Jesus died for me. I don't know about you, but I know he died for me. And I know that he hung on that cross. I know he was there. It tells me he hung on that cross and he died. From the sixth to the ninth hour, he died.
Yeah.
They pierced him in his side.
Yeah.
They said the blood came streaming down.
Yeah.
He died and he hung his head and he died.
Yeah.
But the thing that I like, they didn't take his life. He gave it up. He gave it up. He freely gave it up. Why? He gave it up so that we would have eternal life. But the thing that I like, they took him down. And they put him in a borrowed tomb. Jesus didn't even have his own grave site. They placed him in a borrowed tomb.
Yeah.
And he stayed there for three long days.
Yeah.
But on that third day, on that third day, he got up. Jesus got up. Did he get up in your life? Is he real to you? See, he got up in my life. And when he got up in my life, he gave me the same power that he had. I have power in Jesus Christ. I have power in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer. He is our great high priest. He paid the price on Calvary that we would have the right to eternal life. Don't take that lightly. Don't take it lightly. Think about what it means for Jesus to have gone to the cross. Because he went to that cross, now you can stand faultless before the Father and ask him what you will.
Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."